This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 241. I was saving all my nasty and dirty stuff for my rogue. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our podcast. How you doing?
Hi, everybody.
Did you have a good week?
I did. Did you?
I had a very good week.
As opposed to last week, which really sucked.
Yeah, last week was a really, it was
spectacular.
It was the most spectacular week that I've had.
Spectacular.
It was the 2011 spectacular week.
It was Suckfest 2011.
It was. And, you know, as far as Suckfests go, it went great. You know, but here I am. Suckfest is over. And I had a good week. How about you?
I had a great week. I had a third surprise check this month.
Those are always great weeks.
I know. I got myself a present.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about that in the show. But we don't have any audience questions this week, so nothing
None.
To go in this spot. I have been asked by some people in the community when we're actually announcing the winner from our giveaway, and I will say that by the time you're listening to this episode, we would have already said who won on Facebook. I want to thank everybody who entered. I want to thank everybody
job,
who liked
everybody.
Us on Facebook.
Woo!
I'm happy to report that we're at 109 fans.
Jeez, we couldn't get one more for an even 110. Come on, guys.
Well, what kind of pimping were you doing?
Yeah. One retweet.
One tweet. It wasn't even a tweet. It was a retweet. Okay? Yeah. Really, community manager.
What? I have a very laissez-faire.
Lazy. Kind of lazy being like the big piece of that. But
laissez-faire,
you know what?
Fair approach.
Lazy.
To the,
and it's lazy.
It's actually lazy. It's going to change.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Seriously.
Promise?
Change.
Like, seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Really? Okay.
I'm really done being lazy. I really want to be active.
You want to be active?
Yep.
You?
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. That would be awesome. I would
it's
love
true.
That. I'm not joking. I'm just very calmly saying that I would like that.
And it's going to happen.
It would be very much liked by me. I would click the like button on that. Now, Panda, I know you've been chomping at the bit to actually share.
Oh my god, the fact that I've gone on 2 weeks without not talking about this, I now have to.
I know. I can see that it's really like it's eating away at your soul.
It was bothering the fuck out of me that the last 2 weeks you've had.
So I'm going to let you have that. I'm going to let you roll with that. Go
ahead. Because you know how hard it was to not try to sneak it in?
Well, you did sneak it in.
A little bit.
Yeah.
In my shit, I did, but I didn't go into any detail, and you know I wanted to detail this shit.
I know, you were like,
I was like, oh god, we have set ideas of what we're going to talk. Oh, I can't talk about it here. Or here. What are you doing to me?
And you could have written about it on the site, but
I could have, but I'd rather speak it out of my mouth.
Because
than speak it on...
Speak it out of your ass? What?
Speak it out of the internet. That was where I was going to go with that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Sure.
So, I know that this talk is probably coming far late.
Not far late.
So many people have already talked this up and down, so I mean,
yeah,
I'm not
gonna but
say,
now you can talk about it after playing through it.
Twice.
You know, here's the thing, okay, anybody, and we've done it a few times, can talk about something before they've played it.
Yep.
Okay? But not a lot of people really have the wherewithal to then revisit it once they've played it,
and
either all the way through, and talk about it.
That's true.
I think that this is a really good time to bring this up, because you've played it through.
Twice.
You're actually now on your third run-through.
Starting the third playthrough.
Yeah. So you can really talk about it from a couple of angles. Now,
yep.
You have a formed idea.
Yes, I
You can. Have thoughts. You have opinions
I often
now
have thoughts.
But you have thoughts now based off of actual tangible play. It's not speculation. This
nope.
is what you're about to share with the people is truth speak.
Non-drunken truth speak.
Exactly. It's sober truth speak.
Which is far more potent, apparently.
Potent.
But anyway, yes, I'm finally going to talk about Dragon Age 2.
Dragon Age 2! I haven't played any Dragon Age.
Yeah, and now I own all three, so now you can play them all.
Dude, my Kane catalog is ridiculously bad.
Well, you know what? You need to hop on the game train.
I finished Bulletstorm.
Good.
Okay, which was awesome. But I have not done any of the Mass Effect DLC since Stolen Memory. And there have been, like, two things that have popped out since then, I think.
I'm just saying.
I haven't even started Call of Duty Black Ops. I got called out on the internets for that.
Like I said, you have to hop on the game train.
Dude, it's so bad.
Because by the time you get up to date, you're not even up to date because you're still going to be behind because there's so many...
Oh, dude, I'm so behind. Like, I haven't started Super Street Fighter 4. I haven't played Marvel Capcom 3.
Neither have I.
Like, at all?
I mean, Mortal Kombat's really where I'm going to jump back.
Oh, I already pre-ordered that. That's
but anyway,
true.
Getting back
all
to
right,
my
Dragon
topic.
Age!
Dragon Age 2.
Two!
I know if we go back several... 100 episodes, you'll hear me loving and professing about Dragon Age 1.
Several hundred, because we don't have several hundred. We have a few hundred.
We have 200. And so, 100!
Yes!
So maybe 50. Go back 50 episodes, I'm probably talking
here,
about Dragon
I'll
Age.
I'll make it easier for you. Just do a search on the website.
Yeah. that might work, too. Actually, my first video that I ever did for YouTube was on Dragon Age.
It was.
And who's to say that another video might not pop up about Dragon Age 2?
Me, because you...
It could probably happen.
Like, you know, pulling teeth at a dentist.
I know. So, it's a lot of work. You know, believe it or not, I didn't realize just how hard editing is until I actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, shit, I have to take all day to get it done. I'm like, I have to make sure that my lighting's exactly the same. So, if you start at 8 in the morning and you don't finish till noon, your lighting changes during your 4-hour
sit. It's science!
And you have to go, okay, let me dim now because it wasn't nearly this dark 4 frames ago. Let me go and lighten this up. Oh, my audio's off. Let me tweak that
video
a bit.
Video production for the win.
Literally, it was an all-day thing for those two videos.
No shit.
And at the end, I was like, my brain is fried. But I think I'm going to jump back into the video thing for sure. You're going to see a lot more things coming out.
More videos.
From me.
Yes.
They possibly may
not be on YouTube.
They possibly might be, I don't know. Maybe I'll put up a tweet now before I'm going to go up that it might be live.
It might be a fresh stream.
It might be on Ustream.
That's what I call
it. Ustream me, because I'm streaming live. Winning!
Wow.
I know, I just did that. But
you
back,
actually did that.
But back to Dragon Age 2.
Which we haven't really gotten to yet.
I know. So we're going into Dragon Age 2.
Right.
Loved Dragon Age 1. Played the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I would finish a set, go, okay, I'm going to be totally different this time. Second person, completely different from my first one. Third person, completely different from my third one. And I actually think the only arc I did not play in Dragon Age 1, I think, was the Dwarf Noble. And by that point, I was Dragon Aged out.
Okay, so let's take a step back here. What type of game is Dragon Age to start
with? It is a fantasy... I want to say it's more of an RPG. But, I mean, it's not really turn-based. There's
so
a lot
it's an
of,
action RPG?
Yeah, I would say more of an action RPG.
Okay. All right, so right there, more likely for me to play it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Going from 2 to 1 to 2, you know, because I didn't play Awakening, which is essentially Dragon Age 1.5.
Okay.
I didn't play Awakening, and right when I finished Origins, I was like, I'm totally gonna get Awakening. And then when Awakening dropped, I'm like, I think I'm still Dragon Aged out. I'll wait till it becomes, you know, like, really cheap.
Yeah, because you're way more of a completionist than I am.
Oh, man. If you get me in a good mood, I will finish the fuck out of games. Like, they'll be all done. There'll be nothing left to do. But going into, you know, finishing Origins, and I was like, I can't jump into Awakening right now, because it's really immersive. I mean, BioWare has always been really good about giving you everything. Decent gameplay, great story, you know, easy to fall into and get sucked into for hours.
Right.
Like, believe it or not, Dragon Age Origins was probably pretty close to a level 1 addiction, like my first year in WoW. Like, right. It was that immersive. Like, every day I would just come home and just... All day. I could spend all day in Dragon Age and not be bored. And I'd be doing the exact same things in each gameplay,
mm-hmm.
like looking for the same type of things. And I was never bored, which is a really key element to a game that's really good, because you can jump in and play it 3 or 4 times and not care that you're doing the exact same lineup.
And you want that out of an RPG, is that you want to have a high replay value of it. Otherwise, you kind of feel gypped out of your money at the end of it when you get the end of the game and you're like, well, okay, well, that's it. And you don't have that thing that either makes you want to revisit it from a different angle or, you know, just something that hits you in a way that makes you want to run through it again. Like, I love, and we've talked about this before, playing a game that either has multiple endings, but has a good enough story that really reaches me to a point that I actually want to see all those other endings.
Yes.
So it's not just that they need to be there, but that whatever's going on is so interesting that I want to see those other perspectives.
It's really sucky that, you know, you couldn't get into Heavy Rain because there were so many different endings to that.
It's not that I couldn't get into it. I was into it. They have me, okay? I love Heavy Rain. But emotionally,
emotionally,
I can't play it again. And I don't know if it's just like
the atmosphere was very strong in that game.
It really was, and you know, I don't know if it's just like where I'm at in life right now. Almost all of my friends have kids, and almost all of my friends have kids around that age. So
that's
waited
a few years when they're all teenagers.
Exactly. Like, I don't know if it's, I'm so taken aback
by the time that happens, I might have a kid.
Exactly, which means then I damn sure I'm not playing it again.
Oh,
but,
God.
But at the same time, I think that I keyed in more in Heavy Rain to the emotional piece that was going on
really
with Ethan. And I think that's why it was so powerful to me.
Probably.
Than just, you know, any other game that I've played that has had
Father-daughter, father-child.
A family relationship. I mean, you know, Silent Hill has a family-ish relationship going on.
Yeah.
Okay, but Silent Hill never got me emotionally other than,
no,
this is fucked
I'm
up and
really
I'm not
scared.
Playing this.
I'm really scared.
Okay. Like, Heavy Rain was fucked up, but you needed to save your son.
He wasn't your son. He was Ethan's son. See, you jumped into the role a little too much there.
I had to save my kid, man.
You jumped.
I already lost one. All right, I wasn't about to lose my other son.
Well, you know, if you hadn't let him go and get that.
Don't get me started about, you know, letting him get the balloon.
We're getting off the subject.
Okay, get me started about that fucking balloon. Okay, I told the kid to stay near me. All right, but he didn't fucking listen.
See, and that's why you have to get those kid leashes now.
Kids
on leashes.
That's the thing. Should have had my sons on leashes,
and that's
obviously
where kinks develop, ladies and gentlemen. You put your kid in a leash, and then when they're 15, they want to wear them when they go to school. Just
Hot
saying.
Topic has them on sale this week.
I would be surprised.
Dude,
but going back to
you would wear a leash if Hot Topic sold it. Don't lie. All right, please continue.
Why are we... I have, like, 2 or 3 poster collars upstairs. Duh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't need to buy them. I know where to get custom shit.
That's true.
It's built just for me.
Just for you.
Just for me leashes.
Please continue with Dragon Age.
So in Dragon Age 2, believe it or not, you're in Thedas, which is this mythical world. In Dragon Age. But it's weird because some of the storyline actually ties into what happened in your Origins game. And you actually do have the ability...
Well, surprise, surprise, it's BioWare.
Yeah, they tend to like to say, hey, import your shit from the first one. And they did
it's
it here.
Smart it's to
very
weave
smart.
Them all together.
Yeah, the interaction. So, I mean, I was really excited because I'm like, of all the games that I completed on Origins, which Origin story do I want to come into this game with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually Awakening had that ability too, depending on which character you brought, because you could bring it over your guardian, your Grey Warden into Awakening, which, you know, obviously if one of your endings in Origins, you don't make it. If you don't make it, you obviously can't import that character
because
they don't live.
Right.
But you'd have to obviously choose a character that did make it through whichever means, because I don't want to spoil it if you've never played Origins. But there is a method in which you do not die. Mm-hmm. At the end of Origins. So I only had 2 characters that made it to the end by whatever means necessary. So I brought one of them over into my Awakening game. And all the decisions going from Awakening and Origins can be brought over into your Dragon Age 2.
Okay.
And believe it or not, you're not just focusing on the blight of the world.
Okay.
In 2... You're actually really kind of... They really kind of honed it in, and it's really all about you.
Okay.
You become this champion of Kirkwall. That's the city that you tend to... You really don't go too far from Kirkwall. You're pretty much in this one town. You come from Ferelden, guy or girl, you actually flee Lothurn, which is the first town you go to in Origins.
Okay.
After you go through the wilds, you go to Lothurn first, and the Blight is happening at this time, and you come right when it's hit this town. I mean, there's not too many people. A lot of refugees are only here for a bit, and they're all just rolling out because the Darkspawn are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you in two, you've already fled Lothering with your family, and you really only get three classes in this game. You get mages, you get to be a mage, a warrior, or a rogue. So, I mean, they really kind of stripped
rogues do it from behind, right?
Rogues do it from everywhere.
Oh.
Oh. Sodomy.
No. Sodomy.
But, so, I mean, my first playthrough in Dragon Age 2, I tend to be a projectile magic user. I tend to like those better. I don't like to be up close. I've never been really good at it.
Close combat?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, even going back to my WoW days, I was a healer, so I didn't even hit. I was like, oh, you need a Band-Aid? Here. That was me, essentially. And you can actually kind of do that in this game, too. But I was like, nope, I'm going to be a mage, you know, and I mean, I made the character look as close to me or in my mind what I look like, and apparently in my mind I'm really hot.
Who's not hot in their mind? Like, who would they make a character be like, I'm going to make the butt nastiest character.
I'm going to be ass nasty.
That's what I want. I want my eyes to be like too far apart.
Oh my god, and the character creation, like, you could make some.
I want to have like big Angelina Jolie.
Like Quasimodo looking.
I want a hump.
I actually don't think you'd make a hump.
Damn. I need
you
like a mole.
You can't make yourself fat either, and you're human.
I need a mole with hair growing out of it. Like,
I don't think you can do moles either.
See?
To be honest.
So,
but I mean,
right there,
but they give you
you're
different,
stifling my creativity.
But they give you different complexions. So, I mean, you can have like a nasty, nasty ass face. Like, your face can be kind of bulldogish if you really want to go that route. But, and you can be older, which is really funny, because you actually do play the older sibling of your family. So, going back to the story, you've run from Lothering, you're with your mom and your two
siblings?
Yes. They're twins, actually.
Okay.
Bethany and Carter. And like I said, there's only three classes, a mage, a warrior, or a rogue.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, depending on what your class is, by the time you get to Kirkwall, you're already missing a sibling.
Oh, well, that's brilliant.
Yeah. You know, and your mom, because, you know, your mom actually comes from nobility.
Okay.
From Kirkwall. Her family is noble there. And she ran off to Ferelden with this hot mage lover.
Your daddy?
Yeah, your dad, who's dead also. He's not around.
Of course, because, you know, Disney, you know, set the bar for that.
Not even, because it would be mom who was dead if it was Disney.
It's usually a dead parent.
Dead parent.
Yeah.
Or a missing parent. Because, I mean, Bambi's dad was alive. He just was banging other does.
No. Well, yes. Yes. This is...
So he had both parents until his mom died. And then he was like, yeah, I'm really not going to bother with you until you're a little bit older. And then he showed up like, hey, I'm your dad.
Well, now that
they've done Bambi... Yeah.
He's gone.
He's like, she's gone now.
But then you got Nemo where, you know, the mom, you know, goes. And then you got the dad.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get the stepmom in Ellen DeGeneres.
Kind of.
Yeah, because she moves in at the end of it.
You're right. But it's Ellen.
I know.
Who would not want Ellen?
I know, seriously.
You had to have a stepmom.
I'm not going to lie. Like, every time where she has, like, that little soliloquy where she's like, I see you, and I'm home, I get a little misty. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, take Dory with you, you bastard! It's Ellen!
That's all right, because Ellen makes big money.
Scummy. And she's got Portia de Rossi.
Yeah, so she's winning! But anyway, like I said, depending on your class, you lose a sibling before you even make it to Kirkwall. And your mom kind of blames you for it. Now, you really...
Like, when you say lose a sibling, do you mean like they're dead or like you left them in the woods?
No, they die.
Okay.
So I mean, I'll...
Is it your fault that they die?
Well, your mom says it's your fault, but she really just does it because she's angry and in shock.
That's a really supportive mom.
So, I mean, in this realm, you know, magic users, no matter what, good or bad, are considered really bad.
Okay.
Because if you don't learn how to control your powers, you are, what happens is in this universe, everybody but dwarves can dream.
Okay.
And when humans
dwarves
go
can't
to...
dream? Why do short people not be able to dream?
Will you let me explain this?
I know.
So
you didn't make
so the human,
game.
So humans, elves, and... Well, actually, yeah, just humans and elves can dream. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Canary can dream, because they really don't branch into that.
Those are the...
The like, ones with the horns.
Okay. Like the
well, they show the horns now, but they didn't really have horns in the first game. But anyway, when you dream, you go to this place called the Fade.
Mm-hmm.
And mages are especially drawn to the Fae. Like, they have this tap to the Fae, which generates their powers.
Okay.
But demons live in the Fae. And if you are too closely connected to the Fae, you can become way too powerful and become an abomination.
Okay.
And a demon can possess you and take you over, which is what happens when you become an abomination.
Oh, okay.
So usually when anyone is recognized to have magical potential, they get sent to a circle, which is pretty much a confined prison for
mages. It's an internment camp.
They teach you how to control your powers, and, I mean, you have to go through this rite. In the first game, you had to go through this harrowing where you get sent into the Fae, and if you come back out and you're not possessed, you could just live in the circle for the rest of your days. But if you come back possessed, they kill you, because obviously you can't control your abilities.
Okay.
They don't really go into that in the second game, because they figure you already know them.
Right.
But in my first game where I was a mage, my sister Bethany, younger sister, she's a mage too.
Right.
Her twin brother Carver is a warrior. And as we're running from Lothering, you meet your first party member. She becomes your party member later, Aveline. But as you're running, you meet up with this ogre, and your younger twin sister, you know, well, not your twin sister, but your younger sister, Bethany,
mm-hmm.
you know, is right in front of this ogre, and she shoots off this spell, and you think it's totally going to freeze him, because she was an ice mage, I think is a lot of where her points are. And the ogre pretty much just grabs her and smashes her and smears her into the ground. And you're nowhere near her, so, you know, when your mom's like, it's all your fault, you're kind of on the other side fighting Darkspawn, so, you know, you really can't watch everybody. So at the end, I was like, bitch, what did you do? Because mom doesn't fight. Like, your mom doesn't fight. So I'm like, wait a minute, so I have to watch everybody save you from Darkspawn and keep my what the hell, man?
I mean, she was a mage. She should have had some kind of power.
Not to mention, mages are distance fighters, so I don't know why she got up close in the first place, if I'm going to be particular. You know, she should have been from the back casting. And when you're actually in the gameplay, she does sit back. But, I mean, for the story of the story, somebody has to die, apparently.
Okay.
And in this case, whatever class you are, if it's one of the classes of your siblings, that sibling will die. Because then you have way too many for party members of what each type.
Okay.
So they have to kind of balance it out. So in that first gameplay, I lost her right off the bat. You know, mom blames me. I do feel kind of bad because, I mean, she died. Did the best thing trying to save the family.
Okay.
You know, and through that, you know, there's another little tidbit of information. You know, you do meet up with Flemeth again. And if you played the first game, Flemeth is Morgan's mom. She's the mage you get in your party in Origins.
Okay.
And she's kind of the reason that you could not die. There's a way you cannot die, and she has something to do with that, Morgan. Okay. But Flemeth is like, hey, I saw you take out this ogre, and she was like a dragon when you first see her, but then she turns back into her human form-ish. And she's kind of looking all three kinds of hot, and I was like, whoa, Flemeth looked like a nasty-ass hag. In the first game, and now she's got, like, battle armor and her boobies are out.
Plastic surgery!
Not even when you're a mage, you just fix that up with magic.
That's
shoot.
True, like, poof, poof.
And she's like, look, she's like, I just wanted to see, you know, because not too many people can take on an ogre and not die. I mean, I see she died. So, I mean, obviously, I have a point. And I just wanted to see what that was about. So, yeah, good luck to you. And you kind of convince her to help you out. And she's like, I will help you if you do something for me. So there's always a weird bartering system. People don't do shit for free. It's very
true.
That's
typically how the world works.
You know, and she's like, well, there's this tribe of elves that, you know, I kind of owe them something, so just take this necklace and give it to them, and whatever they ask you to do when you give it to them, your debt will be repaid if you do that. So, you know, you can refuse to do that. Not that I think you really, really refuse it, because I think she just gives it to you anyway, but I was just like, why not? You can turn into a huge-ass dragon. It could save on our walking to get to the boat to get to where we need to go if we just fly. but that's not how that goes. So, I mean, you see all that.
Aww.
Yeah. It's actually really good. The story is really, really good. And, I mean, they've actually done it in a series of flashbacks, this game. So, I mean, when you play through the game, you're reliving it at that through a memory of one of your party members. And he's actually a dwarf. His name's Varric.
Okay.
So you've kind of got this weird... you can't really trust your narrator because you don't know if he's going to be truthful or not.
Okay.
Varric's been, you know, captive by this seeker who's trying to find you.
Okay.
You know, because she's got this book. She's like, all this shit's been happening, and the champion's in the middle of all of it, and I just want to get down to what really happened. And he's like, you really can't trust me. You know, I could tell you, but how do you know that it's the truth? You know, so half the time in the game, you're like, is this how this really happened? You know, like, BioWare was really good about letting you play the story out the way that Varric may or may not have seen it. And there are a couple of times in the game where something happens that totally could not have happened, and he's like, no, 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 no. He's like, that's not really how it happened, but I wish it did happen like that. Like, he has no problems lying. He's a bard, so that makes some sense. But anyway, I mean, the story is really delicate in the sense that your decisions can really change your story.
Okay.
So, I mean, like I said, you automatically lose one sibling at the start of your game. You lose one, depending on what your class is. And, I mean, like I said, Carve is a warrior, Bethany is a mage. I actually have not played a rogue yet, which is what I'm going to be starting. So I don't know if I'm going to lose one of them or not, because I'm neither of the classes.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not exactly sure. But when you finally do get to Kirkwall through, you know, explaining to Flemeth, you know, okay, I'll do this deed for you if you can help us out. She doesn't let you fly on her back as a dragon. She just, you know, I really was hoping that that'd be a really cool way to start the game.
But
she does help you get to the boat that will take you to Kirkwall. And Kirkwall is not a very happy-looking place.
Like, it's not Disneyland?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Are we positive?
Literally, when you come into the gates of Kirkwall, there's these two giant statues, and they look really miserable. Like, it seems... Like, I feel like Kirkwall was what Australia used to be.
Oh, back in the day when it was a colony?
Yeah, except it wasn't a debtor's prison. It was just a really, really sad place. Like the anti-Disney World.
Oh.
Yeah.
So sad.
And you finally get to Kirkwall, and your mom's like, we've got family here, and we're nobility here. We can get into the town. Not really.
No?
No.
Not so much?
Not so much.
What happened? Did you guys forget to pay your royalty dues?
No. But our mom has a brother who's still in Kirkwall, and he...
Did he sell it your family name?
He didn't sell it, but he pretty much gave away the estate.
He gave it away.
Well,
Did he gamble it away?
He gambled it away.
Uh-huh.
And now
there's one of those, by the way.
And he's a kind of a drunken bum. He's really upset.
Of course.
He lives in the ghetto. He's pretty bitter, because, you know, he stayed home and took care of Mommy and Daddy, and Mommy and Daddy at the very end were still like, Leandra, we love, you know, we don't care that you ran away, but, and he's like, you know, I'm sitting here,
I'm cleaning your diapers, and you're pining away for our sister.
For my sister who ran away with that mage whore of a man, sort of.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm assuming that
So what you're saying is they need to have, like, Dr. Phil come in and do an intervention.
They should have done that way before the game even came out. But, you know, so... She can't come in through the means that she wants to. They won't really let her into the city. You know, and the only way to really get in is through a bribe. Is through money.
Okay.
So, your uncle's kind of like, look, I can get you into the city, but you're going to have to pay off the bribe to get you in. He's like, there are two factions that are looking for, you know, work. And if you're willing to sign up with either one of them, they will pay for you, your sister, and her brother, whichever one lives, and your mom to come on in, into the city. So, you know, you kind of have to agree to that. So I was like, all right. So you could either be part of a smuggling ring or a mercenaries guild. Uh-huh. And obviously, if you're in the mercenaries, you got to go kill people for about a year. Or if you're a smuggler, you're just, you know, smuggling really expensive and or drugs and shit into Kirkwall.
But so Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community.
Okay. So, I mean, in my first playthrough, I actually went through smuggling because, you know, I was going to be good and honest, and I didn't want to have to kill people unless I had to. And smuggling, you're just bringing shit in. So if you don't get caught, you don't kill anybody.
Okay.
Hopefully. All right. So. And it's not like a drug mule where I have to eat it and, like, poop it out later.
Put it in your anus.
I don't know if they did it back then because I don't think they had the methods to comfortably
eat. You don't have no saran wrap? What do you think lambskin was for?
Ew, that's so gross.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
That is so gross.
Don't ask me how I know that.
But anyway, so, you go through your first year under either of these two factions. And that's really where your story starts off. So you kind of start as a street urchin, you know, in one of these...
Like Aladdin?
Yeah, one jump ahead of the hitman.
Yeah.
More or less, yeah, especially if you're not a part of the mercenaries group, because then you are the hitman. But, I mean, it's just really... centrally based on you. So everything you do really has a consequence in this game.
And it affects the story that's being retold by this dwarf.
By this guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. By one of your party members.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's really the rise of you as this champion. Because, you know, at the first, you know, the first part of the game where you're hearing part of the story from Varric, you know, he makes it sound like you're just this ultimate badass from the start. You're not. you really grow into this role, and all these tales that are now out about you have obviously been embellished, which I think is why Varric is really keen to let you know, hey, you know, I could tell you, but it might not be the story that you want to hear.
Right.
You know, and he straight up tells the seeker straight out, you know, I'll tell you, but you might not believe me anyway, because you might have this preconceived notion in your mind as to all these events and how they played out. And, you know, so, I mean, I'll tell you, but I'm sure I won't give you the answers that you want.
Okay.
You know, so it's actually really, really smart about doing that. I mean, after your year in Kirkwall being an urchin, you know, you finally do get a reputation, whichever faction you become a part of, and you get some type of clout in Lowtown. So, I mean, the town is kind of broken up into Lowtown and Hightown, and then where the Chantry is. So, I mean...
So, it's basically the ghetto, uptown, and church?
And church.
Okay.
More or less.
All right.
And I mean, they have this really good dynamic in this game where, you know, there are certain quests and chain lines that only happen at night. So you have to go to certain places in that town or even out of town because you are in the free marches. You can go outside of Kirkwall
right. To
certain areas if there's quests in there. But I mean, if there isn't anything going on out there, you really can't go out there. But there are certain, like I said, certain quests that can only happen at night. So you might have to go to the docks at night to go, you know, help some smugglers bring something in. Or you might have to go to the elven alienage at night to go steal some babies. Or
steal babies?
I'm just kidding. There's no baby stealing in this game.
I was going to say, what?
There's no baby stealing in the game.
You can't be stealing no babies. What you doing with stolen babies?
There's no stolen babies. I was just kidding.
Are you selling them? Are you selling those babies into prostitution?
No.
Because baby prostitution
is
wrong. Oh,
no, they have a brothel in Kirkwall, and there are no youngins in there. At least I didn't see any.
Better not be.
I didn't see any.
Because that would be fucked up.
I didn't see any in there.
Why are you all up in the brothel?
There's a couple of quests that you have to go to talk to some bitches in the brothel.
Quote-unquote talk.
Actually, there are choices for you to go to the brothel and hit it and quit it, and I have not done that, but I probably
You haven't
have.
Hit it and quit it yet? That's like kind of your MO in these types of games, though.
I know. I think that's... I was saving all my nasty, dirty stuff from
for your rogue.
I think so. But anyway, so the first really big part of your quest in Dragon Age 2 is you want to get into the Deep Roads, which is underneath all of Kirkwall. You actually go into the Deep Roads in Origins. You know, you're kind of searching out some, you know, hot gear, and that's the place to go. And you want to get some more money because you want to reestablish your... You want to get your estate back for your mom because your mom can't stand the fact that you're living in Lowtown.
Okay.
You know, she's like, I want my birthright back. She's like, I know mom and dad didn't hate me that much that they wouldn't give me the estate. And you find out that, you know, that they had left the estate to mom, but your brother, kind of being a dick, didn't want to tell you. So technically, he really didn't have the right to gamble it away because it wasn't his.
Because it is.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to tell you that, and you actually figure that out through a particular quest chain. But you really want to get your mom back to her home, back so she can be comfortable, because, you know...
Even though she's pissed at you. Okay.
For killing off one of your siblings.
Even though it wasn't really your fault.
Right. So, I mean, you got to build up some money, though, to get into the Deep Roads, because that's where you meet Varric. Varric's brother, Bartrand, is trying to get an expedition to the Deep Roads. He doesn't have enough money to do it, so he's not looking for any more hired hands to go in. He needs a partner, someone who will put up collateral...
Right.
For them to go down. So, I mean, you're doing all these other small quest chains to build up your money to go into the Deep Roads with Bartrand. And by the time you get this money up together, you know, your mom, right before you go down, she's like, are you really going to take the other living sibling with you down there? And actually, through my first two playthroughs, I said no. I'm like, I don't want you up here all by yourself with the uncle, so I'm going to leave, you know, my brother and or sister with you.
Right.
And believe it or not, in doing that, that also sets up another chain of events, because if you don't take them with you into the Deep Roads, like, I was a mage in my first playthrough, like I said, and my sister, who was also a mage, died, but my brother was a warrior, and he was like, wait a minute, I'm not going with you into the Deep Roads, but why? I want to be somebody too. Mom's always talking about how you're so noble, and you're so this, and I want to be somebody, blah, 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 wham, 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 wham.
Wait.
Exactly. So actually, he, at this point, he's like, you know what, I'm going to be someone, whether it's with you or without you. And when you go into the Deep Roads, you find out that your brother becomes a Templar. If you go back into...
Every game that I play, Templars end up being bad dudes.
It's not that they're bad, but the Chantry, which are all women...
Right.
They're kind of... They're
That's the
main,
church, right?
Yeah, they're the church. And what they do, you know, is they have this group of... I want to say they're kind of a mixture of religious police.
Okay.
The Templars. So, I mean, the Templars tend to run the circles where the mages are to keep them in line and kill them if they have to and uphold the justice and preach the word of Andraste and the Maker.
Right.
In this religion.
Uh-huh.
And so your brother is like, you know, fuck this. I'm just going to become a Templar. And you're so worried that, you know, you're, you know, in this case where you're a mage, that your brother's just going to be like, I know where there's an apostate. My sister, you can take her. I was so worried that he was going to roll up like that, but he doesn't. He just no longer becomes playable in your party when they leave. So if you end up saving your sister, she ends up going to the circle because she's a mage. So she ends up just going under the control of the circle. And she, and from that point on, you don't see them again until the very end of your game.
Okay.
If you don't take them with you in the Deep Roads. I have not had this happen yet, but I did talk to somebody who did play it through this way. If you take your sibling with you in the Deep Roads, they die.
Oh, that's just gotta please your mother.
Oh, yeah. So I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to with this role because I want to see all the aspects of the game. So, but you, if you take them with you, they will end up dying. So you can. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an achievement for that, but knowing BioWare. But anyway, but well, you can. Yeah, it'll be called the
only child.
You can lose them, you know. And I'm like, great, that's really wonderful. So I mean, and when you get all these other characters in your party, there's obviously companion quests for you to develop. You know, friendships or rivalries with these characters. And at first I was a little concerned about that because I was like, if they hate me, that means I can't romance them. But apparently you can, in fact, romance them if they don't like you. It's like hot, angry sex.
I'm not making a comment to that.
Nope.
Nope. Just gonna let that one go.
Nope. So, I mean, and they have some really great characters that could be in your party in this game. A lot of them are coming from Origins and Awakening. I was actually not aware of that when I first got the game, that some of the people that you have in your party are people from from the other two games. And they all got a refresh over. One of the characters looks completely different than she did in the first game.
Fleming?
Besides Flemeth. Okay.
I call her Fleming?
I don't know. And you don't even get to play her. I do have some gripes about that, and I'll get back into the whole, any gripes I may have. But Isabella from the first game, she was a rogue, and she had red hair, and she was really pale. You actually met her at the brothel, and then you could later do her.
Uh-huh.
They revamped her this time, and they made her this hot, smoking black chick with really big boobs, not wearing any panties. It's actually kind of hot. And
Wait. Wait, she went from being a pale redhead
to a black
busty
chick.
Black chick?
To a busty black chick, yep. And okay. She's still a rogue, but she's very much piratey. Like, she was a captain of a ship.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of your dialogue with her, you know, she is very open. I was going to say open.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. With no panties on? Yeah. That's not really necessarily a thing you want to do.
But, I mean, all of her dialogue is really charged, so, you know, like, you help her out with some quest, and you're just like, so is this a friend or a friend? She's like, I never let him steer my rudder, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, like, okay, the characters
wait,
are...
Wait. No, oh, yeah. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
Please don't say that ever again.
So, I mean, it's really, really charged. Like, it's really great. But, I mean, each of your party members has a particular... You know, there's a really big conflict that happens in each of their stories.
Okay.
You know, and there's always something that can, you know, if you're romancing somebody, when this climax happens with each of these characters, can make or break your relationship.
Okay.
Like, really bad. And I haven't played Isabella
yet. To the point where
you
can't sex them?
Well, actually, believe it or not, you can't repetitively sex in this game, which, yeah, I was actually really surprised about that. I've only really successfully romanced one out of my two playthroughs right now because I think I fucked up in my second. So, just so you guys get an idea, in terms of your party members, you have Varric, who's a rogue, Isabella, who's also a rogue. You meet Anders, who's a warden and also, a mage. He's actually from Awakening. They revamped him, so now he's all smexy. I like it. And your brother and your sister, if you keep them alive, they're around for a bit. And actually, I think that's a... And Meryl. Meryl's also a mage, but she's an elf.
Okay.
So, and they each have these... these stories are not lackluster. They're not. Like, they're all...
They're not sideline stories, is basically what you're saying.
No. Like, they mean... They're not like, oh, well, I just need you to help me get this thing, and then I'll be happy. No, like, each story... Like, they could have made several different games of just their story arcs.
Okay.
With your character. And I mean, it's... And it's all inclusive. Like, all these things that you think have nothing to do with the main story, they all tie in.
okay,
woven so well, which is why you want to multiply play through. This time, I want to see what happens if I'm really immersed into Meryl's story. What's going to happen with that? Oh my god, Anders hot. Need to do him. What's going to happen with Anders? Fenris, sexy motherfucker, and I fucked it up. I'm so mad.
Oh, wait, is he the emo elf dude that you were trying to, and
trying
you messed
to
it
bang.
Up?
And, you know, and I...
What did you do?
You know what? Save it for your next
question.
Talk to me about gameplay, because, all right, I get it. The story's good.
The story's so good!
It was good enough to make you go back and get Awakening.
So good!
So gameplay.
Oh, my gosh. So the gameplay has gotten a serious revamp from the first game. A lot of people, you know, didn't really gripe about the gameplay in the first game, but going from Dragon Age Origins to Dragon Age 2, it's like a whole different game.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, I played through 2 and said, oh my god, I need to get Awakening so I can understand the characters that we got from Awakening in 2. Because I didn't understand that Anders was a part of Awakening until afterwards. And going back into Dragon Age Origins after 2... I was like, oh, there's so many things I don't like now in Origins. Kind of like the issue I had when I played Mass Effect 2 and then went back into Mass 1.
Uh-huh.
It felt slow.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, you know, if you play Origins...
It would definitely feel slow.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you kind of have that same premise because they kind of did the same thing with Mass Effect 2, with Dragon Age 2, like the combat...
They streamlined
wheel
it.
Mm-hmm. Is the same. The choosing your dialogue is pretty much set the same way also.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, honestly, just put a Dragon Age filter on top of Mass Effect and you have Dragon Age 2.
Okay.
Except for the guns, because you don't really shoot guns in this game. Unless you're a rogue and you get a gun or an arrow thing.
You know, thing. Weapon.
Like a fire
thing.
Cop. No.
Fire cups! Fuck you!
But in Dragon Age 2... a lot of people were worried that Dragon Age 2 would still look like Dragon Age 1, feel like Dragon Age 1, where, you know, you could sit there and be playing, and if you really felt bored, you could just get up and leave, because the game would play itself.
Really?
Yeah, after a while, if you were just like, man, I'm really tired, and you didn't touch your controller, the game would play your character. You could set up your characters to do certain things. So, I mean, you could bounce between all the characters in your party, and the game doesn't end when your character dies. It's when your whole party dies, which is why if your custom character dies, you could jump into another class and play that class. So you can play all of them, just not all at the same time.
Okay.
So, I mean, like I said, and computer, it's a lot easier to set up what you want all your characters to do when you're not playing them. If you really didn't want to play the game, you really could just set up your characters to do certain things and then not touch your character. And your character will also do things that you tell it to do. You know, and a lot of people are like, I don't know if I really like that. It's not something that concept's not really portable into a console realm. I know in computers, a lot of people didn't find an issue with that because, you know, it's computer versus, you know, console gaming.
Right.
Sometimes you didn't feel attached in your Origin game.
Okay.
Because you easily could not play it and still move on in your story. And that doesn't really happen in 2. They've made it so that you're far more immersed in your character.
Invested, at least.
Far more invested in what your fingers are doing for your character. So, no. I mean... I know, that's really funny. But they actually kind of incorporated... I don't want to say button mashing, but for this case, I'm going to have to button mashing. So, I mean, if you're a mage, where before all you were doing were casting spells, so, you know, you might lift your... Back in Origins, you might have lifted your staff, a little flash of what would have happened, or it would tell you to direct an AoE, area of effect, spell. But now, if you were doing that, you were hitting your A button for just a regular attack, and you'd slam your staff into the ground, and a projectile would come out, you'd twirl it around all cool and shit, so you felt like you were doing more now than you were in Origins. I mean, obviously, and then you could trigger certain spells within any particular tree that you were gearing your mage to be. And you could hotkey those. You only get 6 hotkey areas, and then you have to go through your spin wheel for the rest of your stuff. But, I mean, when you're a warrior, this feels far more invested, because now you're up close. You might be mashing A for your regular attack, but you're slicing them with your swords. You feel far more engaged.
Because of the action.
Because of that. So you're not just, all right, well, I'm regularly attacking. Let me hit a special,
I cast magic missile.
More or less. So, I mean, the gameplay is far better into than in Origins. So, I mean, unlike me, if you have the chance, get Origins, get Awakening first. Get through them, because the story is good enough that, you know, I can still go back into them and enjoy the story.
Right.
But in terms of gameplay, I felt myself still hitting Aiden. I'm like, Aiden's not... He's my rogue. Aiden's not doing what I... Like, I'm not in two. I'm back in Origins. Ugh. B. B. C. C. Okay, switch over. A. A. Healing everybody. You know, so I mean, it felt slow going backwards, as it normally would. So obviously, go play Origins and Awakening
first. Play everything in order.
And, I mean, granted, you can even just jump into 2, I mean, because you don't have to import your decisions from Origins or Awakening into 2 to still enjoy your story.
Right.
Because you can just make a brand new character and it still be inclusive. Actually, importing a story decisions from the other two games will bring your circle far more full.
Okay.
Because, like I said, it does happen in the realm of when the hero Ferelden shows up, when you play in Origins. So, I mean, some of the storyline does cross with each other, but there is a 10-year span in the game. So, I mean, I'm assuming you're probably in your early 20s in this game.
Okay.
And by the time you become the champion, you're probably in your early 30s. Not that you see much of a difference in your age, but they just let you know through dialogue what year you're in.
Okay.
So you can get lost in that. But, it's really, really good.
So, buy it, rent it, wouldn't suck as a gift.
If you played it.
It being one?
If you've played one.
Okay.
Or, you were over a friend's house who played one. Buy it. If you don't have the money and you're still friends...
Well, you can make a case of ifs for everything. Ultimately, for you, what do you say?
Oh, I bought it.
Okay, and what do you recommend?
I
flat out
bought it. So, I have... But not everybody's got money.
Well, I know not everybody has money, but your recommendation
is to buy it.
Thank you.
Buy 2. I mean, if you love 2, and I can't imagine what strong qualms you'd have about 2... Outside of the fact, like I was going to say, that I have qualms for it.
Like
the fact, like I said, you do re-meet Flemeth in the beginning of the game. She only comes back for one other tidbit, and you have no idea what that bitch is doing. Now, she's the Witch of the Wild. She's a pretty big deal in the first game. So, you know, I kind of want to know what that bitch is doing. Because she kind of fucked shit up in the first game. So she's going to fuck something up, which makes me think that that's probably going to be downloadable content.
Okay.
Honestly. But they did, you know, you meet her once, you meet her one more time when you find out what that amulet was all about that she gives you, because you find out what that deal's about, and then after that, you never hear from her again. And I'm like, she's too big, she's too important to the story for her to not have any other significant role.
Okay.
Which I didn't like.
What else you got?
My other qualm would be that there were a couple times where if I played for more than 5 hours, which is very easy in this game. That during certain loading screens, that my game would freeze up.
Ooh.
And the screen would still be panning like it was, like the beach ball of death for Max.
Right.
And I'm like, I've seen this screen for about 2 minutes now. There's no way that the scene that I'm looking to get to next should take this long. You know, and granted, they do give you an autosave feature in the game, so, you know, it saves before a loading screen even happens. But I'm just like, that's really scary, especially if, like me, during my second playthrough, I didn't save a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I didn't physically save after big battles.
You need to be Captain Save a Lot whenever it comes to a BioWare game.
Yeah. So I was kind of scared because this was, I think it was during my second gameplay that this freeze happened, and I was like, what the hell's going on? I'm like, please don't tell me. I'm going to have to start all over today.
That would suck.
And I had to shut down my console and restart it up. But granted, it saved right before that load screen, and then this time around, it was an instant turnaround. So, I mean, I recommend, as much as I know I'm not going to adhere to this rule, you know, don't play it for extensive periods of time in one day. Give your Xbox a breather. Let it take a nap.
It needs a break.
It does.
Give it a 15.
Give it a decent break. Let it cool down, and then bring it back.
Yep. It's got to have a cooling down period, and then you can warm it back up.
But, I mean, it's good. The game is addictive. It's got an addictive quality. It has so much potential for expanses that will not feel
expansions?
Like...
Expansions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, expansions. Yeah. Multiples. Right. The story is way too big.
Right.
So, I mean, you'll never be bored. They've made the bartering, they've made the inventory system even different. You know, your gifting system when you are romancing
right.
is far more different. It's not like, oh, I found this cat, and then in the inscription it said, you should give this to so-and-so, because they'll really like it. It's not like that.
Okay.
Like, you pick up something, and it's just like, during a conversation, like, oh, I found this, you might like it. And you never know what gift is for what person until you play it enough to understand. So, yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you play enough times, you'll get an idea of what each character may or may not like.
Right.
Fenris, being kind of broody, kind of likes pointy things.
Okay.
Anders, being a mage, had a cat in the first game that you give him. If you bring your character over, he likes kitties.
Well,
you might want to give him a kitty.
Isn't that good for you? You might want to give him some kitty.
Well, I mean, no, not some kitty, just a kitty.
I thought you wanted to give him some kitty.
I gave Anders some kitty, and then he fucked shit up. I'm not even getting into the I'm not going to get into the romance okay. systems.
All right.
But they're fun, too, actually, if you really get into them. I actually might have to write something about the romance systems.
Really, you think?
Because they're pretty complex this time around. So it's not a matter of, oh, I like you. Here's a shiny jewel. Can we have sex now? It's not...
That's how it works in Fable.
I know.
You give a woman a diamond a couple of times, and then she's like, that she looks pretty, and you're like, brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah. Nowadays, you actually have to, like, talk to these bitches.
Oh, my God.
And be like, here's a present.
That is so tiring.
Hey, I have this house with this really big bed.
I just want to get down.
I'm going to keep my door open, so, you know, if you want to come in.
I have a question about Fable 3. After Reaper, like, leaves, can you, like, sex chicks in his house?
I actually believe that you can. I think you can actually, can't you buy, I think you can buy his house after he rolls out.
No, it says it's not for sale.
Oh, okay. I don't know then. If I had a working copy, thanks, person who shall not be named out loud on this show.
Because I know you can go to the brothel and
stuff. Oh my God, like that, and
but if you just hang out, like, by the way, we have to talk about that because I can't actually get laid in the brothel.
What do you mean you can't? Anyway.
I'm just saying. I walk in and I start talking to people. I wouldn't be surprised
if you go into Reaver's house. If you've got a chick with you and there's a bed and there's an A, hop on it. Then again, I don't know if I'd want to because knowing what happened in Reaper's, you could walk out with an STD even if you're wearing a condom. With them sheets?
See, now I want to know.
Oh my God, you're going to get an STD. And you can't... Can you fix those in this game? In yes. Fable? I haven't... None of my characters have had STDs.
None of mine have either, but I'm curious as if... Because I was wondering, I was like, well, can I get down in Reaver's house?
It's a sex palace, so it wouldn't be...
That's what I'm saying, like in his naughty room.
Yeah. Not even, you can just do it anywhere in that house.
I know, but I'm really curious about his naughty room.
But anyway. Just saying. I totally think I weigh... ate most of our time, but the game is really good, and I can't
just think
it. Yeah,
The rest of the stuff that I was going to talk about, we'll just have to wait. You know, maybe
sorry,
someplace else.
I got really excited.
Yeah, I know. I know you needed to let that out. I know it's just been building up inside of you,
and not even going. And that's only 10%.
Yeah,
an iceberg.
I know. But that's okay. We have a website. You could write about the rest of it.
I know.
So why don't you do that?
I should.
Yeah. You could take advantage of that to get all of this out of you.
I know.
Share it with the world, Pandalicious, on our website, which can be found at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out the articles that are written every week. Any questions need to go to mailbag@landavesh.com. We are available on iTunes. Check us out. Subscribe. We are free.
That's right. It's very simple to find us in the iTunes music store. Just search for Electric Sisterhood and then hit the subscribe button so that you can get the episodes of the podcast right to your mobile device or to your iTunes library the moment we put it out on the internet. Our podcast is also available in the Zune Marketplace, so you can search for us there as well, Electric Sisterhood, and also subscribe to make sure that you get the freshness the moment it's available.
If you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But there are other shows that you should be paying attention to underneath our banner.
That's right. We're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh, although we kind of started it. Our shows go out on Monday, which are followed then on Tuesday with new episodes of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, which is hosted by our own King Baby Duck and basically represents some of our Bostonian friends.
Our B-Town homies, mother.
You caught me off guard there with that one.
Yep.
their perspective on things.
Is it a tad bit masculine?
There's more testosterone
over there. No shit.
There's a little more testosterone over there. But they talk about all kinds of things. Games, gadgets, music, TV.
Drama. Movies,
drama. Plays. Theater.
Every killing things and grunting about them.
Yeah, there's definitely
barbecue.
Wait, we said there's testosterone, so you can check those guys out on Tuesday with their podcast, as well as visit their website. You can hit up geekagra.com, which is run by our boy Deuces Wild.
Deuces,
yeah,
but not the good kind.
Yeah, but the good kind of deuces, not
deuces.
The yeah,
wild.
You can get your geek gadgetry type stuff handled well, as well as some PC gaming things with the new podcast.
I wonder if episodes. He'll get Porto for the PC, and then me and Deuce can play together.
Oh my jeez.
Not oh my jeez.
Oh wait. My jeez.
Oh. Oh.
Oh my god. So that's Wednesday.
Never say never.
Don't you ever bring up Bieber again. This is a Bieber free zone.
Sorry.
All right. I mean it.
Sorry.
Okay? From now on, like, that is he who shall not be named in the land of Esh.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll say Voldemort all day long. But no more of that.
Sorry. Oh, that just slipped out.
For the rest of the week, you can check out all the things that we write upon our respective websites. You can find it all conveniently at landofesh.com, including whichever is the current issue of our magazine, which I highly recommend that you read because it's awesome.
Yeah, guys.
In both print and digital form.
Digital.
You can follow us on Twitter. We're all over the place. If you want to find out everybody who makes up the Land of Esh, just simply go to my page on Twitter, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list, which now actually shows up because I forgot and I made that private, but now it's not. So
it's public for everybody.
It's public. It's a secret to everyone.
It's not a secret anymore.
It's a secret to everybody.
It's not. We've had this discussion before.
I know, and I won. So that's all there. We're everywhere on the internet. YouTube, Twitter, Vimeo, freaking Ustream when we get it working from the phone. And I don't lose my camera at PAX East. So
don't get over that, please.
I'm still upset about that. So anyway,
God, get over it.
Anyway, that's how you can get in touch with us and all kinds of goody things that are going on with us. In addition, our Facebook place, facebook.com/landofesh. That's where you want to go when you want to get, you know, kind of stalkerish with us. And you've got something that's just burning on your brain right then in the moment that you want to talk about. Because, you know, eventually...
Yes.
We pay attention to that area.
I was paying attention to that area.
No, you weren't.
Oh.
You haven't posted anything to our Facebook page in, like, forever.
No, but I read it.
Community manager.
What? I read it.
Community manager, not community lurker.
Can we change my name?
No.
Can we change my title to lurker?
No. I don't need a community lurker.
Because I'm around all the time. Like, I'm just there hanging out. Like, hey, what's up?
I don't need a community lurker. I need a community manager.
So well, again, my lurking is a management. I see what's going on.
You don't manage it, though. That means you're just lurking. You're just an observer. You like to watch. Well, guess what?
I'm a voyeur.
Exactly.
Community voyeur.
Frank. So anyway.
Hey, what's going on over
Facebook.
Here?
Facebook.com. /landofesh. That's the best way to get a hold of us.
Yeah.
We got good things going on.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. With that,
shit
that we dig this week. Panda.
This week, it's Dance Central. I've been dancing up a storm. 5-star and shit. I'm the balls.
You're the balls? Really? Okay. All right. Cool.
And, yeah.
Yeah, you're the balls. Nope, that's where we end. You said it. That's what we're in.
What are you digging this week?
Star Wars.
And by Star Wars, you mean everything but...
By Star Wars, I mean 4, 5, and 6. Those movies. Okay? Alright, the books are okay, but not 1, 2, and 3, because they're abysmal and an abomination and should just be wiped off of the face of the earth and collectively out of our consciousness. But 4, 5, and 6. I had a little project to work on.
And Clone Wars?
Oh, fuck Clone Wars. Love, love, love the original Han shot first. Star Wars, that's what I'm digging on right now. So, as always, folks, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out of here.
See you guys next week.
I love the internet. Have I mentioned that today?
Yes.
Have you hugged the internet today?
I made sweet, sweet internet love with
Did
the
you
internet.
Make sweet, sweet internet love with the internet?
Yes, I did.
Did you wear a condom?
Nope. Bitch will get pregnant.
Oh. Don't impregnate the internet. Don't impregnate the internet.
Rule 34.
It's already got a bad reputation.
Rule 34. What?
I said the internet already has a bad reputation for being a loose whore. Don't knock it up.